Welcome to the Movies in the Brain podcast. I am one of your hosts, Brian C. Wood, and with me today is my co-host,
Chad Mitz.
Welcome to another weird, wild, and wacky week in the world of genre movie news. As we have now covered the beloved Ghostbusters movie that is making an international sensation worldwide, we have now come to the part of our podcast, or the episode of our podcast, where we celebrate our one-year anniversary and we talk about the greatest nerd gathering of the year, San Diego International Comic Con. I am here today with Chad to discuss this. And before we get started, and there's not all that much to talk about, not as much news going in as there will be coming out of Comic Con. But I wanted to take this opportunity to say that, you know, this podcast existed for a couple of episodes as me dissecting movies on my own, breaking them down and analyzing them to nano pieces. And then I asked Chad to come on board because I needed a co-host, and because this podcast in part grew out of the conversations the two of us would have standing at the circulation desk at Middleton Library. But really and truly, if you want to get down to it, there are a very few number of people who are solely responsible for the existence of this podcast. And there's one in particular. I wanted to give a very big shout out to Miss Lauren Siddarth, who had a very long conversation with her on my birthday a year ago, and I told her about this idea I had for a movies podcast because I was inspired by guys like Jim Vegeta and Matt Goldberg and Adam Chitwood and what the guys at Collider and IGN were doing, and I wanted to do that too. And, you know, I don't get paid for this. I actually have to pay the fine folks at Pod-O-Matic to post these episodes. But it's a lot of fun. And it's a weekly chance for me to escape and a chance for me to help bring the news of the weird, wild, and wacky week of genre movie news to all of you. And I hope that you've enjoyed this first year. And I just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for listening, for downloading, for visiting the Pod-O-Matic website, for visiting iTunes. Still haven't left a single comment. No one has left a single comment in a year. We haven't even been retweeted by Tyrese when Chad called him out. You know.
Hey, but the tick did.
The tick did. Listen to the entire podcast. God bless him. Whoever that guy is running the tick account, he did a really good job. Haven't seen a single piece of evidence that series is actually in existence.
Until you just said, I'm like, I completely forgot about that.
Indeed. But from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank all of you for downloading. I want to thank all of you for visiting. I want to thank Chad for getting involved. I want to thank Lauren and Megan, my father and everybody who just really was interested in this idea and pushed me to do it, and I'm glad that I did it. Now, onwards and upwards in our next year of covering genre movie news, because it's only going to get busier as the year progresses.
And we're about to get really busy next week.
Yeah. So Comic-Con International. San Diego Convention Center. Still in San Diego.
Yeah, for now. Yeah.
For now. So let's talk about some of these things that you've got coming up. Okay, let's start on the TV side. I know we don't really cover TV, but most of this TV stuff is stuff that plays into pop culture in general. Why is there a Game of Thrones panel, and what are we going to learn at the Game of Thrones panel?
I don't know why there's a Game of Thrones panel, considering the show, at the point Comic-Con happens, would have ended 3 weeks prior, and we're not going to get new episodes for almost a whole year, so I don't know why we're getting a panel. I don't know who's going to be there. It's not like, I don't even think George R. George R.R. Martin's going to be there.
I guarantee you he'll be there. He'll be there signing books.
Well, yeah, he'll be there signing books, but I've heard he was the moderator of the panel once, and it was described as like a big awkward collection of people because he's kind of awkward doing that kind of stuff. So I don't know what the hell we're going to get. I don't know. I don't think we get any of the big heavy hitters like Peter Dinklage or Khaleesi. I know her name is Daenerys, but I want to say Khaleesi. Or Arya, anybody like that. I think we might get like Podrick or somebody lower level, but who knows? Maybe they'll say, my hope is that they'll say, you know, those last two episodes that all of you really love, we're going to put those in the theater for you on one day just so you can see them in all their glory. That's my hope that comes out of this thing. Other than that, I got nothing.
I mean, that would be the awesome thing, right? The rumors have always been there that, like, the true cinematic experience of Game of Thrones would happen for their finale.
Yeah, it's normally the...
Not like the season finale, but like the series finale. Yeah. The last episode would probably end up as a theatrical release at some point.
Well, they did, was it last year or the year before? They did like the premiere episode. They put it in the theater. I think it was the premiere episode. So they've done it before. It's just been, this would be the first time they've done it like after the season in more than one episode, if they were to do it. But have you seen the last two?
I have.
Okay, because they're very cinematic, so...
the Battle fitting. Of the Bastards is just... It's Lord of the Rings on steroids.
Like, when I think of that, the first thing I think of is that shot of Jon Snow with the horses running at him, and he's just looking at it. It's just like a great cinematic shot, and I really want
to
see that.
Because HBO has the money to do that. And the most ironic part of it is Rome blew through its budget in 2 years. Like, they had to cram, like, the entire Cleopatra Mark Antony story down to, like, 5 episodes because they had blown through their production budget with all of the production sound stages and the costumes and the period piece of it all. And here we are with Game of Thrones, where it's like, here's more money.
Yeah.
Go add stuff.
Yeah, HBO's like, y'all sure y'all need to end in 2 seasons? We can't keep stretching this out. Because they're going to keep throwing money at it. So they're like, no, but you give us all the money. We can make some better shows from this.
So let's move on from that. Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead will both have panels. Any expectation of news? Because like the promo images they've been releasing are pretty much the same publicity shots we've been getting. Like, it's the same kind of shots we were getting at the end of the last season. Mm-hmm. Kind of teasing character death.
No, I don't have any expectations. I don't watch The Walking Dead. I know how the season ended, and I know how most people felt about it. And, I don't know what they're going to do, because it's not like they can give away who's dead. So I don't know. I would think they would try to appease their fans some ways, but from everything I've heard, it's like, unless you're telling us who's dead, and it's somebody meaningful, I don't really care. So, I don't know. And I hear Fear the Walking Dead is, like, awful. So, I don't know.
So, Chad, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still a thing?
So, it is a thing.
Because, remember, the Inhumans are no longer a thing.
Yeah, the movie's no longer a thing. But they're very much a thing on this show, and I don't think they're going away.
Perlmutterist.
But yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is, I don't know what's going to go on with the show, because ABC, you know, through their leadership change, they cut a whole bunch of shows, but they kept Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but they pushed it back an hour.
And lost Agent Carter, which is actually the better of the two shows.
Oh, no. The second season of Agent Carter was pretty bad. I didn't like it. The first season's good. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The transition to L.A. didn't help?
The transition to L.A. was fine. It was just the whole story that was just, like, really, really weird. It was really, really weird. But I think it could have done another season and gone back to what the first one was. Like, this one went, like, really sci-fi. And they could have gone back to, like, the spy thing. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's better. Most people hated the first season. Since then, it has been better. To the point, like, I don't watch shows live. I rarely watched them the day after, but I was, there was a point I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like pretty much the day after, which is, to me, it's like, you know, you're kind of good. But they pushed it back an hour. They keep saying that it might be a little bit darker in tone. I didn't really get how they want to make it darker in tone until this whole, Ghost Rider rumor started happening. Which started because
Ghost Rider, is Ghost Rider gonna be an Inhuman now?
How
that's gonna work?
I don't know how they're gonna do. I would not have put Ghost Rider in this show.
I would have given Ghost Rider his own Netflix show because Netflix has just, they've proved with Punisher, who's getting his own spinoff series, like you can do really dark and really violent, which is something you could not do in either one of the Nick Cage Ghost Rider movies.
Yeah, Netflix was. Everybody figured Netflix was
Netflix
the home for
is the perfect home for Blade, Ghost Rider, and
the Punisher.
And the Punisher.
Yep.
Like and all three of their Wayward Child franchises that like died on the vine in the movie theater have been can be resurrected to life on Netflix, and it can really work and work well.
Yeah. So there. I mean, it is just a rumor that Ghost Rider is going to be there, but
there is a bus with a chain on the bottom.
Yes, and they're casting two characters that sound like the new Ghost Rider and his brother. So that's where the rumors are coming from.
You really think Perlmutter would be that petty and just say, you know what, so that they don't decide they want to make a Ghost Rider movie in 2020, I'm just going to put him in a TV show?
No, because at this point, I think if Feige said, I want Ghost Rider, and Perlmutter's like, no, Feige's going to be like, I want Ghost Rider, and then Alan Horn comes down and is like, he wants Ghost Rider. It comes with him.
Who is in the audience at Star Wars Celebration this morning? Alan Horn and their chairman of distribution, the president of Disney, and then the head of distribution for Disney were both in attendance. Bob Iger.
The CEO and
Bob Iger and Alan Horn were both in London today for Star Wars Celebration.
I'm not surprised that they don't look like they're having a big presence at Comic-Con, so.
Well, not only that, like, those guys could sit in a room and no one in the room would know who the hell they are.
That is right. I don't know what Alan Horn looks like. I have an idea what Bob Iger looks like. And it's because somebody said a comment like that, and I'm like, you know what? I think I should know what they look like. But, yeah, Bob Iger just walk around, nobody's going to know.
It's, you know, kind of like a couple of years ago when Daniel Radcliffe went to Comic-Con and walked the convention floor dressed in a Spider-Man outfit.
They do that a lot. And as long as they wear the mask, it's fine. And I find it funny. But it takes away a little bit from it because I can't, like, guess that it's you. I'm not going to walk up to a random Spider-Man like, you famous?
So let's move on to some other comic book genre news. Impending Comic-Con news. So, The Killing Joke will get its nationwide theatrical release this in the coming weeks. They're going to screen it at Comic-Con. This we've known for a little while. Your expectations for the reaction coming out of that screening?
If it is on par with The Dark Knight Returns that they did for DC Animation, I think people will rave about it. My only hesitation is the book has a distinct visual style with the colors that the movie doesn't have, which I don't have a problem with. But I know, you know, we're dealing with fanboys and they have their particulars. So that might be something of an issue. And I only say that because somebody went and took the trailer and put it back in those comic colors. And of course, they like that kind of stuff. But I think generally everybody's going to be pleased. It's Bruce Timm back, Kevin Conroy's back, Mark Hamill's back. So you've got all the ingredients for people to really like it with this particular story.
Alrighty. And since we touched on the Marvel Netflix tip, Luke Cage, September, the third of the four Defenders,
mm-hmm.
with the fourth Defender on the way. And I think it was the girl who plays Jessica Jones said that they're going to shoot Defenders before they shoot Jessica Jones season 2.
Yes.
So, your thoughts on what we expect. I expect they're going to screen the first two episodes of Luke Cage at Comic-Con.
I didn't see a screener on there. I think it's just the panel, and I think the panel is an hour, so I think we'll just get the panel, and maybe they'll show some stuff. I'm ready.
I mean, people are going to be familiar enough with the Luke Cage from his time in the Jessica Jones world.
And most people liked him a lot in Jessica Jones. I did. I liked him a whole lot.
And they're going to do the same thing, just reverse with Danny Rand. They're going to introduce Danny Rand in Luke Cage world.
Yeah. He won't get as much time in Luke Cage. I think he's only in the last episode of Luke Cage.
So, well, I mean, it kind of makes sense. They were delayed in that casting.
So. Yeah, they didn't announce until at the end. Well, they... Luke Cage wrapped, they announced it, and then they retroactively said he's in the last episode.
So, any thoughts on there on Marvel's Netflix properties? Like, we know we're getting Jessica Jones season 2, we know we're getting Iron Fist and the Defenders, and we know we're getting a Punisher spinoff. I mean, could you ever have imagined a world in which the Netflix stuff is every bit as good as the cinematic stuff?
No. I thought it would be... I mean, we had the cinematic stuff, then we got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I thought it would be...
And we got Agent Carter.
Agent Carter. I thought it would be like Agent Carter. And then Daredevil happened, and it was like, what the hell is this? And why can I not stop watching you when I need to go to work in the morning? And it's just been that good. I know people vary on Jessica Jones more than Daredevil, but... Daredevil season 2 was good. We got the breakout with the Punisher. And because that's the one that Perlmutter has direct control over, I think he would want to expand that as much as he can. So as long as they're still good, it's kind of like with the movies. Like, they kind of get a bump from the movies.
And they have the benefit that Netflix doesn't release numbers.
That too.
They don't even have a solid subscriber count for Netflix. Like, no, they keep their numbers, like, very tight to the vest.
Yeah, we just know they got a whole truckload of money. But
billions that they can literally throw away.
But so with that, you can only gauge on people's opinion of it, and it's universally liked. And I think they're going to get the benefit of the doubt, much like the films, and I think the film's bump helps that, because we haven't, like, got a bad film. We haven't really got bad shows, so everything is like, as long as they keep doing it, we just gonna give them the benefit of the doubt. Cast whoever you want, do whatever you want. We just trust in what you're gonna do.
Alrighty. So let's talk about some films that are gonna screen at Comic-Con. We've already touched on Killing Joke. The other massive screen that's gonna take place is Star Trek, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. And we'll have a 50th anniversary panel at Comic-Con with Shatner and a bunch of, you know, the next generation people. Mm-hmm. And, of course, most of the cast of the current iteration. Your expectations for word coming out of the Star Trek Beyond screening?
I'm basing this on the fact that reactions to Beyond has already started coming out, and everything that I've seen, granted it's only been a handful of things, they're all saying it's really good, which
is from the mess that this was and the fact that sets were being built and they were changing directors, right. And Simon Pegg had to write the story from scratch.
Yeah, Orso. Like, that wrote the first two, was going to be the director. They fired him, had to do the rewrite and all this stuff.
And were pressed to get it done because Paramount demanded it be out for 2016 for the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, all of that, it all spelled, this movie's going to suck. I completely forgot about it.
And then you add on top of that the Sulu announcement.
Well, that came out, and it's just like that. When I heard that, I'm like, okay, the movie's coming out, this stuff to wrap it up. It was only controversial just because George Takei was like, I don't think y'all should have went that route. I think you should have stayed true to what Roddenberry's characters really were, but
which is funny considering his
everybody's like, but George, you're gay, you don't, but I respect his opinion, but all of that to say all of the reviews I've seen so far, I've not seen a negative one. They're all saying it's at least better than the second one, which may not be saying much, but I've also heard this is the best of the three.
Still, like, that first movie is a lot of fun. It has a lot of the Star Wars feel to it, and it reboots the franchise perfectly for a new generation. The problem for me was the fact that you went the con route.
Yeah.
Like, J.J. said immediately following, like, we are not beholden to the former timeline now. We don't have to do con. And then, like, he got talked into doing con.
Yeah, that,
and then refused to say he was doing con when everybody in the world knew he was doing con.
But that's J.J. and his, I don't want to tell you everything, I want you to see it in the movie. Which I respect, but for these kind of things, you can't really do. But I think the panel itself is going to have all those the old TV stars.
Yeah, I think the 50th anniversary panel is a must see, only to see William Shatner address Leonard Nimoy's passing, and then to see William Shatner just melt down on stage because there's Carrie Fisher at Star Wars Celebration and there's Shatner at Comic Con.
He can't help himself.
Yeah, he cannot help himself. So that will be fun. It is the 50th anniversary, so it is a milestone. And, you know, Roddenberry would have never imagined that it'd be,
what it is now?
13 films deep and, like, 7 television series, including a new one on the way.
And J.J. was talking about the next movie after this and said...
Because they're all signed on for 4.
Yeah, and he says that the next movie, Kirk is going to have an adventure with Thor, his father. I wanted that look. I don't know how, but that's what he said.
That was Hemsworth when no one knew who Hemsworth was.
Yeah.
And he sacrificed himself into a ship.
Yeah.
He didn't sacrifice himself into a wormhole. He didn't send himself into a black hole the way that Leonard Nimoy did.
Mm-hmm.
To come out the other side. He sacrificed himself into a ship. James Tiberius Kirk. So I'm going to take my father-in-law's name, and I'm going to take my dad's name, and we're going to name the kid James Tiberius Kirk. And then I'm going to ram my ship into this other ship so that I die a hero. And now I'm going to come back.
See, there's certain times that I wish we had video, because I knew what I was doing. Because I wanted the reaction I'm getting right now. Y'all can't see it.
This does not make any... Like, you blew up Vulcan. You altered the timeline from the original Nimoy Kirk movies.
Yeah.
Right? There is no more Voyage Home. There is no more Search for Spock. There is no more Undiscovered Country. Like, there's no generations. All of that stuff is gone. Kirk doesn't die by falling off a horse or whatever dumb stuff it was in Generations. Like, you changed history and had the opportunity to write yourself new history. And then you did Khan. And you said you didn't do Khan. And then we all knew you did Khan. And it wasn't, like, a surprise to anybody when you did Khan. And now you're gonna do Idris in a... such heavy prosthetics that you do not even know that it is him, except for the voice. And now you're telling me that because the whole trilogy to this point has been about Kirk dealing with daddy issues, now you're gonna just magically have daddy appear.
You're all welcome for this rant.
How? He crashed his ship into another ship. Explosion in space. You die. You don't come back from that.
So I don't think we get any clues in this movie, so...
Oh, no, there has to be clues in this movie, because, like, the whole thing is, like, I joined Starfleet on a dare. My daddy joined because he believed in the cause. And who am I and what am I doing here? Because all I have to do is, how do I become a Starfleet captain the way that everybody believes that I can become a Starfleet captain? I must live up to my legacy. I must fulfill my father's destiny, for I am my father's son.
So, that your James T. Kirk goes from like a Confederate general to a Southern preacher and wavers somewhere in between there for a little bit of time. Y'all owe me for causing this rant, because this is entertaining.
I had no idea that JJ had said that.
I wish I had the tweet somewhere, but yeah.
He crashed his ship into another ship. And now, because Kirk has daddy issues, he has to confront his daddy?
Yeah.
Like, was that from Orsi or somebody? That was one element they wanted to bring back?
I don't know. I don't know why JJ offered up this information, but he did. So,
please, dear God, have it be a trial balloon to see how the fan base is going to react. Like, this makes no sense. I'm going to get drunk and talk about my daddy and how my daddy joined Starfleet on a dare. And I joined Starfleet on a dare, and my daddy joined because he believed in the cause. Like, what the hell, man? Like, why? Why? I mean, it's bad enough that Pine and Quinto have no lives outside of Star Trek. That, like, they have to sign on for a fourth. Which is ridiculous because, like, the two biggest members of that cast are Simon Pegg, who wrote this one, and Zoe Saldana, who is going to be busy being Blue at some point in the near future. They don't need to sign on for a fourth. And, like, what are they going to do with Zeldana and, like, Spock's little love triangle there? Are they going to resolve that? Or is, like...
I mean, they still do that in this one. So...
I don't know, man. That's almost as bad as, like, Sigourney Weaver is saying, like, yeah, Blomkamp's alien movie's going to ignore Alien 3 and 4 and is going to be, like, finally give Ripley the ending she deserves.
Yeah, she did say that. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm happy that there will be an Aliens 30th anniversary panel with James Cameron, so we can actually have a forum for Sigourney Weaver to say all of these things and have it purposeful. Because when you're out promoting Ghostbusters, you don't need to be talking about a movie that doesn't exist. Because Ridley Scott decided he needed to make Prometheus 2. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Alien Covenant. Yeah. Okay, so, like, Blomkamp is somewhere in a writing studio, like, looking at blueprints, like, the bad guy from Ghostbusters, like, trying to figure out how he's gonna put this movie together, and, like, waiting for his opportunity, and here's Sigourney Weaver not even talking about Prometheus, or 2, or Alien Covenant, just talking away about Neil Blomkamp's beautiful vision for the Alien franchise.
Well,
all because of some freaking concept art that was posted on Instagram.
Well, Neil's not sitting there waiting for Ridley to, you know, let him up from underneath his thumb. He got some other movie that he's doing. I forget the name of it, but it's, you know, some sci-fi Neil stuff. So, I think he's
accepted. Some sci-fi Neil stuff that won't make money.
But no, it's not his own original stuff. It's like from a book or something else. So it'll be like his first time doing something like that.
Is Cameron going to be at this 30th anniversary panel?
I don't know.
Because if he's at the 30th anniversary panel, dadgummit, somebody has to ask him when he's going to put people in blue makeup.
I think...
Because every time they ask him about it, all he says is, we're almost done with the writing room.
Yeah.
Yet the Australian government keeps saying, we have tax credits. Here, take our tax credits. Here, film your movies.
With that said, I don't think he'll be there. I think he might send like a video message because he'll be like, I'm working on Avatar, and I'll be like, bullshit.
All right, so that's what we think of the Aliens, the Aliens 30th anniversary panel with Ridley Scott and James Cameron and Sigourney Weaver, and who knows, maybe even Paul Reiser will be on the 30th anniversary Aliens panel. All right, so yeah, why not throw Fassbender up there? He was in Prometheus. Let's get Fassbender. Let's get Paul Reiser. Let's get James Cameron. Let's get Ridley, Weaver, let's get Ridley Scott, like, let's get the cat, like, let's just get everybody up on stage for Aliens 30th anniversary panel, which will be at San Diego Comic-Con. If you're excited for the Aliens 30th anniversary panel, please tweet me, because Chad has now raised my dander.
I didn't even do it for this one. I did it for Star Trek, and you just get on in the Aliens.
I don't understand, man. What is this?
When we started this one,
does this work?
When we started this episode, I was like, yeah, this would be clear. We're just talking about the news. I did not expect this rant on two things. I only started one. I claim one.
All right. So, Chad, Oliver Stone's not a very controversial director at all.
Is he now?
No, he's not, really. But he's going to make a Snowden movie, mm-hmm. which will probably raise some eyebrows. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt's had this thing sitting on the fence for, like, 2 years. So, like, you want to tell the kind people what we can expect from Snowden? If we're doing a panel, are we doing a screening?
It's
the movie slated for an October release, last week of September, early October release.
Yeah, it's not going to be a screening because the panel's only an hour. So I would expect that we're going to get Joseph Gordon-Levitt and I guess Oliver Stone will be there, which is... I don't know why that just does not compute in my mind, Oliver Stone and Comic-Con. But they'll probably talk about it.
Because Oliver Stone should probably be at the RNC convention, like outside picketing somewhere.
Touché. Yeah. But I just think we'll just get a whole bunch of... They'll just talk about the movie. I don't think we're going to get anything particular.
Why is this movie going to Comic-Con?
Because
this is not a genre movie at all.
Not at all.
Like, this is, like, straight up hardcore, let me put my own spin on Snowden. Oh, wait, somebody else already did that.
I mean, who's distributing it? Is it, I'm gonna assume it's, like, one of the companies is already bringing stuff to Comic-Con, so it's like, y'all come too.
Maybe. I mean, I don't understand. You have blown my mind. Thank you, Chad. I appreciate you frying my brain cells while I have a podcast to do. It's not like Hemsworth's going to be busy after Infinity War anyway. So speaking of Marvel, there's this nice statue and they're going to do Captain America's 75th anniversary panel. Is the dude who played Captain America on TV going to be at the panel?
I'd have to imagine he's going to be there.
I'm assuming Stan Lee and Kirby will be there.
Well, Kirby's dead. But Stan Lee will be there. Yeah.
Well, that would be a little bit of news if he had shown up.
Oh, yeah. If Kirby shows up, I'll tell you who wouldn't be there. That would be me. But
you are afraid of ghosts.
Yeah. I think Stan will be there. Evans will probably be there because it is the 75th.
And Evans will be there anyway for the Marvel panel.
More than
probably.
Likely, yeah. Have you seen the mock-up of the statue?
I have.
Okay, because so it is Captain America, it is Chris Evans, Captain America, up there, and there's a plaque on the front, like, he's standing on this plaque kind of thing. Kind of looks like a trophy, a big trophy, and on the plaque
kind of like the Andre the Giant statue.
Kinda, except
or the warrior statue.
Yeah, where the base is like this big wooden block kind of thing, and there's a plaque on the front with what Cap's first shield, so if you're only familiar with the movies... In the first Avenger, the shield he had then, that is like the background of the plaque, and it has like the dates and the years, and it has Cap's quote from the movies, "I'm just a kid from Brooklyn," and it's going to go to Brooklyn, but they wanted to debut it here at Comic-Con.
On the floor for people to take pictures with, that'll be awesome.
Yeah,
I expect a lot of good quotes about the history of Captain America. I don't know who's moderating that panel, but we will. It'll be interesting to see. So, moving on. There will be a Marvel panel. There will be Doctor Strange, and there will be Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Will there be Thor Ragnarok? Will there be Homecoming? That is the least secured set in America right now. There are more leaks coming from the Spider-Man Homecoming set than from any other... Like, these. I thought Civil War was bad. I thought when they were filming in Atlanta for Civil War that there were a lot of set videos being taken. I think there are a lot of set videos being taken up in Cleveland for Fast and the Furious right now. But, like, this takes the cake, man. Feige is, like, the man. How can he not, like, shut down these things?
Because there's nothing going on in these pictures that will change anything about this movie. I think Like, the first pictures we got from the site Looper, and they just let them stay up there. That just tells you that Marvel's like, all you're getting in this picture is Spider-Man, and this is not like Civil War. You've seen Spider-Man. We'll let you see all the Spider-Man you want. Hell, Tom Holland, take your phone, take a selfie of Spider-Man. Go nuts. Just put as much Spider-Man out there as you want. Now, there's going to be a point where it just stops, because it's like, okay, now
we're once they go inside.
Yeah, we're getting the plot stuff. Y'all can't see this. But if you want to see Spider-Man, all these memes of, I want pictures of Spider-Man, there you go. So, I'm not concerned about the set leaks. I think this is all part of the plan. I do think we get something from Homecoming, which is going... It's blowing my mind, because Sony's not bringing anything else. But they're going to have to do something for Homecoming, because it comes out before Comic-Con next year. So, I don't think we'll get much. We might get, like, Instagram photos of him taking the selfies and stuff like that. Just enough to get you excited. Ragnarok, I think we'll get, like, some behind-the-scenes stuff, because...
More like the stuff we've been getting on Instagram.
Yeah, because, we got Ruffalo with the big Hulk hands and stuff like that. I think we'll get some of that kind of stuff, because we have a whole Comic-Con. We'll get a Comic-Con before that comes out. Guardians and Doctor Strange. I think we might
get... We're getting footage from Guardians, and we know we're getting footage from Strange.
Yeah, I think we'll get a trailer from Strange, and we'll get footage from Guardians, and I think we'll get substantial... When I say substantial, it'll be more than just like 15 seconds. It might be like a minute. Might not be a trailer. Might be like a sizzle reel like we got for Star Wars today. But yeah, I think it'll be enough to satiate
people. These guys brought the whole lineup sequence like a week and a half into shooting.
Yeah, it was no more than 2 weeks.
So. Right, and they're wrapped.
Yeah, so.
And they're in post-production, so yeah.
Yeah, they've got something. They could drop like a teaser trailer again. There's no Comic-Con between now and the time
it comes out. Yeah, I mean, the next time that you would do that would be, before Doctor Strange. So,
yeah.
And that's November for what would be a May release, yeah. Which would make sense.
Yeah, so I think we'll be happy with what we hear from Marvel, but I don't think it will be
like I would like to hear Feige's first words be, we are here to talk about 2016 and 2017 and beyond.
We'll probably get who Captain Marvel is.
That, yeah. He said by the end of the summer, there's no D23. So, bring out Brie Larson. Make everybody happy.
Yeah, I think that's how we close.
Because, I mean, Carl Danvers is like... Because, like, Katie Burchoff... how do you pronounce
Sarkoff.
Her name? Katie Sarkoff. Sorry, I only remember her as the trailer park girl from 24 who, like, wanted to be with Freddie Prinze Jr. It was a whole mess. I don't remember her from Battlestar. She's a little too old in Hollywood terms for what they want. Emily Blunt's too pregnant, and too committed to too committed to Mary Poppins sequel and the Mary Poppins sequel and also the Live Die Repeat 2. She's out of the running, and Larson fits the age bracket, she fits the sense of humor bracket, and she fits the looks bracket, so yeah. And she has the award to boot, so I would not be surprised if that comes down. DC has a cinematic universe, they also have a TV universe, they are bringing the CW panel. Your thoughts on any news we will get from Flash Season 3, Arrow Season 5, and Supergirl Season 2.
There's so... And the Legends of Tomorrow, yeah. All these shows, there's so much stuff. I don't know what news we'll get. We've already gotten the pictures of Kid Flash for The Flash. The only thing I think we'll get...
We've already gotten the announcement that Cody Rhodes is going to guest star... on Arrow next season. We've already gotten the confirmation of who's playing Superman on Supergirl, and we've already gotten the Kid Flash pictures from Flash.
Yeah. I don't think we'll find out who Cody Rhodes is. I think the biggest thing we'll get out of that is what Superman's going to look like. I'm pretty sure we'll see Superman.
Right. And your expectations for the DC panel, because they are doing a whole bunch of stuff for Suicide Squad. If you're on the floor at Comic-Con and you're dressed as Harley Quinn from this movie, or Joker, you can be in a costume contest. If you are on the floor at a certain time, you can stand in line for hours and get autographs from every member of the cast, including the P- people whose names you can't pronounce. If you are in Hall H on Saturday, you will get to hear the cast and David Ayer speak. And I hope that somebody gives David Ayer like 5 Kickstarters before he goes on stage, because I want to see him rant. And, you know, and then maybe or maybe not some footage leaks, or maybe not some Wonder Woman stuff, in which we got the news this week. Geoff Johns wrote Wonder Woman.
We'll talk more about that script stuff later. But
it gives me hope.
That does give me hope.
But Zach is still on board, so.
But see, that's the thing, Zach. Like, he has a story credit. But.
Talking tigers.
Well, my thing with Zach's story credits is that, like, Zach has these great big ideas. It's just that he has problems executing the small things in them.
So you're wondering if this is a harbinger of Justice League, and, like, if Johns can focus his big ideas down to 2 or 3 small ideas that can translate, that maybe that'll. This will give us a good indication that Justice League may have some hope.
I didn't even think about it like that, but yes, that is actually a good thing. You're saying a thought. You're translating my thought in a different way, but yes, that is a excellent point, because my thought is he has a good idea, but he needs people to refine it for him. Johns is good at refining. That's kind of what you're saying, but I didn't even think about it in terms of Justice League. As far as this overall panel,
someone needs to stream. Someone needs to just put the portions of David Ayer online.
Yeah, he's gonna say something crazy, man. He's gonna say something nuts that's gonna get people in trouble. But if his movie backs it up, then
$130 million opening on track four could be north of that.
If he gets anything, if he gets that and above, he can come back on Twitter the next day and like. Do a GIF of continuous mic drops and be like, I told y'all. But he's going to say something crazy, and I'm looking forward to it. I just I can't get a handle on this WB panel, because they have so many things they have and they need to do.
Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, Justice League. That's the next 3. And there will be a Comic-Con between now and Justice League. There will not be a Comic-Con between now and Suicide Squad or Wonder Woman.
This is... By any stretch of the imagination, this Comic-Con is Suicide Squad's Comic-Con. However, with the information dump they did for Justice League, they're course correcting from what Batman vs. Superman was. So, they're going to bring something substantial from Justice League. It's just how you balance all that out. And we're probably going to get a Wonder Woman trailer. We'll probably get footage from Justice League. We'll probably get another Suicide Squad trailer, along with whatever other crazy stuff they're going to do.
I think Ayer's going to say his piece. I think they're going to have the panel, and we're finally going to get to hear Leto talk about his version of the Joker, and Robbie talk about her version of Harley Quinn. She'll probably give some tidbits about the Harley Quinn spinoff movie. And then I think they may show a scene from Suicide Squad that doesn't involve, because they just released the set visit for Suicide Squad last week. I think that we'll finally get to hear that from their mouths. And then I think they'll show a scene from Suicide Squad, get the room going. Then I think they'll transition into Wonder Woman. Gal Gadot will come out. Chris Pine will come out. Patty Jenkins will come out. They'll talk about Wonder Woman. She'll talk about transitioning from the Diana Prince of Dawn of Justice to the Diana Prince of World War I. Pine will talk about his experience on the movie and whether or not he enjoyed it, and how he was excited for the role and why he took it on. And then we'll show the trailer, we'll get a good feel for the tone, the period piece of it, the modernity of it, and then we will, I think, get Zach coming out on stage at the end, which, you know, Comic-Con would be probably the last place that dude would want to be right now. But I think it's important to have him or Johns come out and introduce the scenes from Justice League that have been floating around on the internet that are done to the extent that they can be shown, and that ends your panel. Now, the problem that Warner Brothers has is that they don't just have a DC panel. They've also got to cram Lego Movie and Fantastic Beast, Lego Batman and Fantastic Beast into this.
Their panel is, I think it's like 2 hours.
Yeah, 11:30 to 1:30 Pacific Coast.
Lego and... And Fantastic Beasts goes first. Lego, go to DC stuff. I'm with everything you said, except I would not send Zach out there.
You send Johns?
I wouldn't send Johns. I would send Affleck and Gal or
Gal's Ezra already going to be there.
Gal's already be there. But send Affleck and or Ezra Miller if you're going to show that Flash scene. Just so, like, we're the two guys here. We're the two guys up there. You like this? You like us? Come see the goddamn movie. But I don't send Zach out there. But I would send Affleck. Because everybody loves his Batman.
So he will endear himself to his audience. So, that'll about do it for our Comic-Con preview 2016. Now that I have lost my mind and my brain cells are fried. The next time we congregate together as movie-loving nerds, we will talk about the news that has come from Star Wars Celebration, the news that will come from Comic-Con 2016, at least the first part of it, and we will talk about what lies ahead as we prepare for Suicide Squad. So, if you want to keep up with this podcast, you can follow me on Twitter at BCW Tiger Fan.
And at The Mess Theory.
Thank you very much and have a pleasant evening.